Welcome back to the State Update Podcast. I am your host, Joey Magana, and I am joined by Catherine and Caitlin and Nathan and Edward, otherwise known as Ed, and Kevin from our legal side of the team. Last month, we talked about April showers bringing May flowers and kind of what goes into the work in states and producing fruits of your labor type of thing. Unfortunately, this year, April showers did not bring May flowers, and we'll kind of go into that as we talk about state updates. I've been public saying this before, so I will continue to say it. As much as I like legislators, they're all good-intentioned, fairly good people for the most part. I know they sacrifice a lot to run for office and try to be good public servants. But what I have found over the years is that when it comes to election time, they tend to lose a little bit of their backbone and don't want to rock the boat, as it were, and tend not to want to do big, bold policy, although I think they should. But nevertheless, election years don't bring a lot of big policy wins. This year has proven to be no different. And I'll leave it up to the team to kind of talk through some of those disappointments, but only short term. I think we'll have more wins, obviously, as we go through the movement and continue on in future sessions with school choice policies. So having said that, Catherine, let's go to you. What's happening in your state?
Yeah, so unfortunately this morning in Tennessee, we saw that negotiations have failed between the House and the Senate to get a solution or a compromise hammered out before the end of session here in Tennessee. We expect the legislature to sine die on Thursday. And unfortunately, Senate Bill 503 and House Bill 1183 just were not able to be reconciled and moved out of their chambers. And it's very unfortunate because we've seen a lot of excitement around a potential universal program in Tennessee. We saw a lot of momentum going into this session. Governor Sanders herself came down from Arkansas to provide assistance to Governor Lee to aid in the fight to get this thing across the line. And I think it's a good reminder that it's very challenging to get massive universal programs passed in one session. Coming off a year like last year where we had so many wins, it started to feel so easy and exciting. And this is just another reminder that there's a lot of education that has to go around these topics. There's a lot of trust that has to be built between parents and lawmakers to get buy-in, to get stakeholders more interested and more open to changing the way they look at the traditional school model and provide more options. I think there's definitely still demand in Tennessee. I absolutely expect this bill to be debated again next session. I don't think Governor Lee's going anywhere. I expect both chambers to have leadership return that will be very pro-school choice, and we're excited to continue to fight. And unfortunately, the clock just ran out on this session, but that doesn't mean that the story's ended by any chance. I think we've done so much good education in Tennessee. We have so many lawmakers bought in that another session gives us another chance to get this done and really expand school choice in Tennessee. They have a great existing program, and it's time to open the doors and get it for the rest of the state. So when we look towards next year, I'm excited to continue to work with leadership in that state to aid them in any questions they have, to further reach out to more stakeholders and parents, and further educate lawmakers and explain that, you know, a school choice program is exactly what parents want. We've never seen a traditional public school shut down when some sort of universal program is passed. And opening the market for more options and specialization for students is exactly what each state needs to be competitive in this new market.
Yeah, a lot of work has been done in Tennessee, and I think obviously we have a little bit of a ways to go in educating. If people are wondering, you know, what exactly did happen in Tennessee, there was a member who kind of changed his mind through the process. And I think, again, he didn't know probably everything there was to know, because as we all know, in session, you get inundated with all kinds of information, some accurate, some not, a lot from the opposition. So it's hard to decipher what's truth and what's not. And we certainly help with that with all of our research and data. But it's just hard to do that in the middle of session when so many things are going on. So hopefully next session, to your point, we'll use the interim to our advantage to make sure that people have accurate, good information when it comes to school choice policy. So thanks for that update, Catherine. Ed, one of your states in particular is still kind of in the thick of things. What's going on in your neck of the woods?
It sure is. So just to give an update on New Hampshire, but I'll start with a recap. So remember, earlier this year, the New Hampshire House of Representatives passed a bill to increase the state's Education Freedom Account program from 350% to 500% of the federal poverty line. Bringing it up to 500% would bring it up to about 69 to 70% statewide eligibility. Now, since then, there was an attempt in the Senate, and they did successfully pass a bill to instead increase it to 400% with some added regulations. That went back over to the House, and the House rejected it. And I think the sentiment there is the House has already done the work to get 500, which is more gets more families, it's more expansive, and of course, they don't want added regulations. So I think the take there is they've done the work for 500%, and 500% continues to be on the table. It's not really that's all that's on the table. So it's to be seen what happens in the Senate, but all eyes are in the Senate, so we're hoping for the best.
Yeah, well, we certainly hope that New Hampshire can pull through for those families. We know want to take advantage of the program. New Hampshire has been a great example of efficiency in how they run their ESA, and hopefully good news to come out of that state next month.
Absolutely, New Hampshire, as some of you may recall, we do our superlatives every year, and New Hampshire did win the best run program and also the most popular program with the most amount of students joining the program year over year. So there's clearly demand for it in the Granite State. So we're hoping for a win for families this year. And just to add one thing, to give some perspective on the differences between 400% and 500% federal poverty, this is the difference between, you know, someone like a single nurse would not qualify at 400% in New Hampshire, but would qualify at that 500% level. And there are so many other examples of people who are certainly not perceived as being overwhelmingly wealthy, nothing like that. These are middle-class, hardworking families who just want a good education for their kids. So that's the difference between 400% and 500%. So we're hoping that those families have the chance to be empowered in their kids' education.
Right. And let's not forget not only that, but to have a true kind of marketplace, every student should be eligible, not only for the opportunity for that family, but also to have kind of a true marketplace of people having options for customizable education.
Yeah, absolutely. As Milton behind me, always, Milton was the supporter of Universal. We still want Universal. We think all families deserve access to these options. So the closer we can get there, the better.
Great, Ed. Thanks for that update. I will say too, Nebraska just passed a bill to basically replace their tax credit scholarship from last year, which was a privately funded program. Now it's a publicly funded program, which is great because we always say that public funding should follow the student, and that would be the case here in this state. It also will happen to negate the ballot initiative in Nebraska that was collecting signatures to take away the choice program from last year. So we were definitely happy to see that and look forward to that program running next year. Nathan, lots of things happening in the South. You've had the most amount of states doing things this year. What's happening in your neck of the woods?
Yeah, lots of stuff going on in the South. It's been a great last few months so far. Lots of movement. I will say, Joey, to your earlier comment about, you know, April showers not bringing May flowers, there were a couple states that either did or didn't move on something. So, for example, Georgia, they actually did get to pass a ESA. Of course, it was nowhere near a universal ESA where it wouldn't serve all the students in Georgia. So I think that's just going to be a continued fight to expand that program and be able to try to serve as many families as possible in Georgia. Of course, in Mississippi, there was a play to push for a universal program, universal ESA. And unfortunately, they before it even got to the House, they sort of just turned that into some type of study to kind of further along the process, which is unfortunate. I think there's a lot of groundwork to be made in Mississippi. I think there were a lot of groundwork made from the sort of coalition folks and legislators there this session, which is always a positive thing. A couple other interesting things that has been happening most recently, Missouri, of course, they had an expansion proposal to expand their current ESA program, tax credit program. That passed. Amazing. They got literally every single vote that they needed. There was no more room for breathing there. And so they did a great job at whipping those votes and getting it passed. One of the most notable things that happened in Missouri, and the expansion, by the way, the expansion now goes statewide. They got rid of the geographical barriers. They upped the cap a little bit in terms of the money used to fund this program. They expanded eligibility a bit. And so a wonderful expansion, a huge step in the right direction. And I guess now it's the road to universal eligibility is the road ahead, which is exciting stuff. So congrats to all the folks in Missouri. One of the most notable things I think that happened in Missouri is there was actually a Democrat who spoke on the floor in support of this legislation. She, you know, I would encourage everyone to go watch it for themselves. It's Representative Terry. But she essentially said, hey, when I look at this bill, I think of my grandchildren. I think of them going to school. I think of their opportunities. And so that's why I'm supporting this bill, you know, for kids like her grandkids. And so it was really powerful, really good stuff. And course, she helped get it across the finish line because they got every single vote that they needed. Similar to that, in Louisiana, of course, there is a universal proposal. The Louisiana Gator Scholarship Program, still in the process. The legislative process session doesn't end until June, but they're constantly working on that. The bill did pass the House with overwhelming support, bipartisan support. And so, similar to Missouri, we had a Representative Jason Hughes, give a fiery speech on the House floor. I would encourage everyone to go search it and look for it. Incredible stuff. He gave about a 10-minute speech just saying that, you know, this is good for his district. He thinks about his nieces and nephews, his godkids, I think he used. Just incredible stuff. Makes you want to run through a brick wall and continue to fight for choice, which is amazing. Another notable thing about that is not only did you have this Democrat representative get up and give a fiery speech, you had six Dems altogether vote for this thing. Six Democrats voted for this, which to my knowledge is the only piece of universal legislation that had this much bipartisan support. So some really great stuff. He brought over some Democrats who have actually voted for similar things, against similar things in the past in Louisiana. So just incredible stuff, noteworthy of watching and noting that six Democrats voted for this. And so some awesome stuff. Of course, there were some states that, like I said earlier, Georgia, Mississippi, that didn't quite get there this year, but there's groundwork to be made, and there has been groundwork made on those states, so it's still very encouraging. And then there's some encouraging stuff to watch, like in Louisiana and like Missouri, so some really good stuff going on.
Yeah, so some disappointments out there, but I think a wonderful bright spot is, like you said, folks on both sides of the aisle are starting to see the benefits of school choice and how it can help their communities, so we love to see that. All right. Well, thanks everyone for listening to the State of Choice podcast with the EdChoice P&A team. Stay tuned for more updates next month. And as always, don't forget to check out our website, edchoice.org, for any resources or information.